أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين. Dear viewers, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. As you remember, in our previous session, we dealt with another school of thought called emotivism. We pointed out that according to this school of thought, X is good is equal to saying hurrah to X, and X is bad is equal to saying boo on X. So according to this school of thought, moral statements are reduced to exclamatory marks. The philosophy behind the position of this school of thought is logical positivism. According to logical positivism, all meaningful sentences, all meaningful statements are either empirical or analytic. According to them, we don't have any statement that are neither analytic nor of the first kind. A meaningful statement need to be empirical or analytic. As I explained before, these two kind of statements are meaningful statements and they are accepted. But anything that is neither empirical nor analytic has to be rejected, and they are not going to be accepted. And in this session, I'm going to raise the objections pointed out by moral scholars against this school of thought. As usual, I will also touch the Islamic point of view in this connection. According to moral scholars, emotivism is not a good school of thought, and one cannot subscribe to this school of thought. And there are many reasons why we should not subscribe to this school of thought. First of all, this school of thought is based on logical positivism. If you have problem with logical positivism, you will also have problem with this school of thought. And since logical positivism is faced with various problems and with various challenges, therefore, this moral school of thought is also engulfed with problems and difficulties. One of the basic problems that are faced by logical positivism is that this school of thought is self-refuting. It is self-contradictory. It refutes itself. Because according to this school of thought, all meaningful statements are either empirical or analytic. But here we ask a question from the supporters of this school of thought. Is this sentence which I related now is meaningful or not? when you say that all statements are either empirical or analytic, this is a statement. Is this a meaningful statement or a meaningless statement? If this is a meaningless statement, then it has to be rejected. Then you do not have any claim, and we cannot talk about your point of view. And if it is a meaningful statement, then it refutes your claim. Because this statement is neither analytic and nor empirical, how can you test the validity of this statement? How can you prove or disprove the validity of this statement? So this statement is not an empirical statement. You cannot prove or disprove it by carrying out experiments. You cannot also analyze it through conceptual analysis. Thus, this statement is neither analytic nor empirical, but at the same time it is true, but at the same time it is acceptable. So we can conclude from this that the idea presented by this school of thought is not acceptable and is not valid. That is the first objection raised against this school of thought. The second objection, that is also a very important objection, is that according to this school of thought, all moral judgments can be reduced to exclamations. But here we ask this question, can we reduce all moral statements to exclamations? Can we do it? The answer is a negative. We cannot, as a matter of fact, reduce all moral statements to exclamations. Yes, of course, there are certain statements, there are certain moral judgments that can be reduced to exclamations, and we don't have problem with them. But there are other moral statements, there are other moral judgments that cannot be reduced to exclamations. And if you reduce them to exclamations, if you translate them into exclamations, your translation will not be acceptable. Your translation will be meaningless. Your translation will not make any sense. For example, we have the expressions in English language, do whatever is good. According to emotivists, all statements that include the concept of good, these statements are moral statements, and these statements can be reduced to exclamations. Here, good must be reduced to hurrah. And if you change the term good into hurrah, then will it be meaningful? Is it meaningful to say, do whatever is hurrah? Of course, it is incorrect. While if you say, do whatever is good, do what is good, it is meaningful, it is acceptable. This expression is a very common expression. But if you change it, and if you say, do whatever is hurrah, do what is hurrah, it will be meaningless. It will not make any sense. So the translation which this school of thought suggests does not bear any fruit. They do not produce any meaningful results. There is another example. We normally say hurrah for people or for good people. Hurrah for people who are good. Hurrah for good people. Again, here we have used the concept of good. But if you change this concept into the concept of hurrah, the expression will be something different, not acceptable. If you say, for example, hurrah for hurrah people, instead of saying hurrah for good people, if you say hurrah for hurrah people, then this expression will be meaningless, not acceptable, not making any sense. So the theory suggested by this school of thought is not acceptable, because according to this school of thought, all moral expressions, all moral statements can be and must be reduced to exclamations, and they produce different examples to prove their point of view. Here we provided counter examples, and based on our examples, their theory is not inclusive, and this theory is not correct everywhere in every case. So that is another objection that is raised by moral scholars against this school of thought. And there is also a third objection against this school of thought. This school of thought was saying emphatically that our theory is simpler and it explains more. And as I explained before, these two standards are very important standards in scientific methodology. According to scientific methodology, if a theory is simpler, then it is counterpart. And if a theory explains more cases compared to its counterpart, then this theory is acceptable, this theory is justified, and this theory must be accepted. It is a very important standard in scientific methodology. The supporters of this school of thought were claiming that our school of thought are actually satisfying this standard. According to them, emotivism is simpler compared to other schools of thought. And it also explains more cases compared to other schools of thought. But is it true? Is this acceptable? Is this claim acceptable? Of course not. How can we agree with this claim? How can we accept that this moral school of thought is simpler and explains more, while we face a lot of problems while applying this theory into specific cases? According to moral scholars, there are many moral statements that are self-evident truths. Every society, every community, irrespective of its language, irrespective of its color, and irrespective of its culture, accept such statements and recognize such statements. For example, hatred is bad. All human beings agree that hatred is bad. Hatred is intrinsically bad. It is bad in itself. Oppression is bad. Committing oppression or committing aggression against others is bad. It is again a self-evident truth. Killing innocent people, it is also a self-evident truth. Everybody agrees that it is bad to kill innocent people. And those who have problem with such kind of self-evident truths, they must see a psychologist, and they have problem, mental problem. So this school of thought is neither simpler nor does it explain more cases, because it rejects commonsensical statements. It rejects what are accepted by your common sense. And anything that is against your common sense has to be rejected. You cannot accept any idea if it runs counter to your common sense. You cannot accept any statement that is against your common sense. And you cannot accept any idea that is in contrast with your common sense. Your common sense is very much important. You cannot accept any idea that is not in agreement with it. So that is also a very important objection that is raised against this school of thought. The fifth objection that is also equally important and that is raised against this school of thought is that this school of thought actually destroys the methodology of science. As I pointed out, science has got its own methodology. And according to its methodology, any theory that is simpler and that is more explanatory, that is a good theory, and that has to be accepted. And this methodology will be at risk if we accept emotivism as our moral school of thought. If we pick up our moral principles from the methodology provided by this school of thought, we will actually put at risk the methodology accepted by science. As I mentioned, according to scientific methodology, a view is better. A view is better if it is simpler and if it explains more cases. A view is better. You see, better is a comparative form of good. We have good, better, best. So better is another form of good, the comparative form of good. So can we substitute this term for hurrah? If we put hurrah in place of better, then the idea suggested by this sentence will be ridiculous, will be nonsensical, and will not be accepted. Because if you say a view is hurrah, if it is simpler and if it explains more cases, if you say such a statement, it will not be acceptable. It will be a joke. And it will destroy the methodology of science, because if you put hurrah in place of better in this statement, then according to this school of thought, this statement will be an exclamation. And if it is an exclamation, then we cannot talk about its truth, nor we can talk about its falsity. It cannot be tested. It cannot be rejected, nor can it be falsified. So you see that this is if this school of thought is not a good school of thought. Because if you put the methodology suggested by this school of thought into practice, it will create problems for you right and left, here and there. And even if you use the words and the vocabulary suggested by this school, you will have problems. As I mentioned, if you put hurrah in place of better in this statement, then it will destroy the methodology of science. Here you will be faced with a statement that is neither true nor false. and you cannot verify the content of it. Whereas if a statement is a scientific statement, if a statement is a statement that talks about the facts on the ground, then such statements have to be justified. Such statements have to be tested. So this is also a very important objection. And now, as I pointed out in the beginning, I'm going to touch the viewpoints expressed by Muslim scholars. What does a Muslim scholar say about emotivism? How do Muslim scholars face emotivism? Do they accept emotivism? Do they agree with such a school of thought? Do they have any problem that resembles to the problem that was faced by emotivism? Of course, the vocabulary, the literature used by Muslim scholars is quite different from the literature used by the Western scholars of morality. But of course, we can find elements, we can find problems and matters that can be resembled to one another. Muslim scholars are unanimous on this fact that all statements are either normative or descriptive. All Muslim theologians accept the idea that all statements are either normative or descriptive. Descriptive statements are the statements that talk about the facts on the ground. For example, when you say it is snowing outside, it is raining outside, the weather is cloudy, I saw my friend, I played football. These are all the statements that are descriptive statements. And there are also statements which they call normative statements. For example, parents tell their children, do this and do not do that. Go to cinema. Don't play football. Go swimming and don't do that, do this. These kind of statements are not descriptive statements. These statements are normative statements. According to Muslim moral scholars, all moral judgments fall within the category of normative statements. Moral judgments, for example, it is good to do this, and it is bad to do that. Or for example, do this, do not do that. All these moral advices, moral statements, they are not descriptive, they are normative. Muslim scholars are unanimous that there is no subject or there is no issue of falsity or truth about normative statements. They are unanimous that we cannot talk about the falsity or truth of normative judgments. Normative judgments express your feelings, express your needs, express your demands, and we cannot say whether or not they are true. We cannot say whether or not they are right. So according to Muslim scholars, all statements are either descriptive or normative. And according to some Muslim scholars, moral judgments are among the normative judgments. Moral judgments are normative. Moral judgments are not descriptive. But of course, there are other scholars, other Muslim scholars, such as Ayatollah Misbah. He is of the view that even moral judgments are descriptive. He agrees, he accepts that all judgments or statements are either normative or descriptive. As far as this division is concerned, it is acceptable by all scholars. But as far as moral statements are concerned, Muslim scholars are divergent on moral statements. The majority of Muslim scholars are of the view that moral statements are among the normative statements, and therefore you cannot talk about the truth or falsity of such kind of statements. But as far as scholars such as Ayatollah Misbah is concerned, this is scholar of the view that moral judgments are also reducible, and they can be reduced to descriptive judgments. Yes, they say, we agree that the appearance of moral judgments or the appearance of normative judgments. But if we analyze these judgments, if we examine these judgments, then we will be able to reduce these judgments into descriptive statements. For example, when you get sick, you visit a doctor. The doctor tells you, take this pill. It is a normative statement. But according to scholars such as Ayatollah Misbah, such statements can be reduced to descriptive statements. You can say that, take this pill. This statement can be reduced to a descriptive statement in this manner. If you take this pill, you will get better. So actually, there is a causal relation between your taking this pill and getting better. As soon as you take this pill, you will get better. And if you avoid taking the pill, of course, you will not get better. So what do they do? They come and reduce moral judgments, moral statements into descriptive statements. By doing so, they come to this conclusion that all statements can be reduced in one way or the other to descriptive judgments. As a matter of fact, the finalist may say that morality or moral science is not among the normative sciences, though the appearance of this science suggests that it is a normative science. But on the basis of analysis, on the basis of examination, and after a full reflection, we will come to this conclusion that even moral science can be reduced to a science that is descriptive and that talks about the realities on the ground. So these were some of the objections that were raised against this school of thought. And lastly, I also mentioned the idea put forward by Muslim scholars. And I said that Muslim scholars agree that moral statements are of two types. Some are descriptive and some are normative. But they disagree or they are divergent on moral matters. Some say that moral matters are among the normative statements. Others are of the view that even moral statements are among the descriptive statements. So that's all for this session. Thank you very much.